Welcome to Wham Bam Pow. I am Rhea Butcher, your host, also known as the Lady James Dean, or Pamplemousse, as I've come to be known in my later years. Cameron Esposito, our usual host, is on sabbatical still. She is writing a book and working on tons of movies and stuff, and we'll let you know what those are as soon as we can. But I am in the booth recording this episode as your host, and beside me is Mr. Coco Palau himself, Ricky Carmona. How are you, Ricky?
Oh, what it do, people? What it do, Pamplemousse?
Yeah, I didn't have any coffee, so that was like a slow start there.
No,
sorry,
that was
about
great.
It.
That was great. I would say that's it. That was a rev up.
Yeah.
It was a vroom and then boom at the end.
Yeah.
Come on, with it.
That was a drive 5 miles an hour
there
and then maybe go 10 at the end. So I have a couple announcements up top. Cameron Esposito and I are going on tour again this fall on the She Said, She Said tour.
Ooh,
check
that
out. Hashtag it. And before that, I have a few dates. Actually, I'm going to be at the High Plains Comedy Festival in Denver, Colorado, which is super awesome. I'm going to be there the August 20th through the 22nd. So check that out. And then I'm also on a festival in Winnipeg, Canada, and it's their first year, called the Odd Block Fest. And that's going to be really exciting. It's from the 27th to the 30th. I'll be there. So if you're in Canada, specifically Winnipeg, come on and check it out. And then we have our dates up on our websites, but we'll be in New York, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Sacramento, San Francisco, Kansas City, Royals, Columbia, St. Louis, boo to the Cardinals. Hate them. Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Boston, and Chicago. So go to our websites and check those out. See if there's a show by you. And today on the show, we're going to be reviewing Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, which is in theaters now. And when we get to our review, we will fully talk about the movie. It's not a show. It was a show. Now it's a movie.
There you go.
Thank you. Which, by the way, I heard this really, I should save it for later, but I'm not. I heard a great piece on NPR, don't remember which show it was, with the original composer of the theme, the and that's actually the theme for after they've gotten the mission, after it's been proven possible.
Then they're like, hey, put the needle on the record. Is that right?
It was a different score for before it. Which is just, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
That we've just been like, yeah, just cut to the chase. I just want the interesting song. So we're going to review that, but just a quick heads up that we will be spoiling the movie. So just go see it and then come on back. And then right after this, we'll be back with some news, reviews, and things you can use. All right, we're back with some news. But first up, I wanted to keep you guys abreast of my baseball stats.
It's happening.
I got hit by two pitches yesterday, and those are my first two hit by pitches out of, like, I don't know, probably eight games I think I've played at this point.
And that would be
feels
the
like more.
HBP column, if
HBP
I'm not mistaken.
HBP column, yes. Yeah. One in the hip, and then the whole field asked me if I was all right. And I was like, I'm okay. It's not that bad. I hate that. They do that to, like, get in my head, too.
Yeah.
It's really funny how dudes choose to get in your head. I mean, at least they're not doing the opposite, which is, like, calling me a man and stuff. Like, that would just be, like, uncalled for.
Sure.
Which, like, hey, whatever, I don't care. But at the same time, I'd be like, chill it out. So then instead they're like, are you okay? Are you all right? Is that, oh, are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, yes, it's a baseball. It didn't hit me in the face.
See, now you know, Rhea, if we ever play baseball, and I know that drives you crazy, you're going to hear it from me now.
I mean, it drives me crazy, and then I hit harder.
There you go.
But, yeah, I got hit by two pitches. The second one was nasty, because they put in, like, a way too fast of a pitcher. Like, he should not have been pitching, because he was dangerous. I couldn't even get out of the way of it fast enough, and he hit me in the elbow, but just far enough back that it was just the meat of the elbow.
Yes.
Because if that would have hit my actual bone, that would have been bad.
That
I probably would have had to go to see a doctor. It would have busted something for sure. Because he was throwing heat.
Oh, wow.
But yes, they ripped a bunch. They pulled a bunch of, I play third base. They pulled a bunch of grounders my way, and I stopped almost all of them in the first five innings. Then after the first five, you're just like, I'm exhausted. I'm not running for that. Anyway,
yes.
So that was baseball talk on Wham Bam Pow.
Solid baseball talk right there.
Yeah. So on to the movies. The movies that we talk about on this show, action and sci-fi movies. We've got a few bits of news for you. So Fantastic Four, not doing so good.
I heard it's going great over there.
I wrote down Fantastic Four tanks, and so does Josh Trank.
Oh.
I heard, and I couldn't find anything on the internet, and then I realized I didn't want to find anything on the internet and just wanted to talk to you about it like people.
Okay, sure.
I heard that he, like, had a break. Like, this movie has just kind of wrecked him.
Like,
that he went on Twitter and just was, like, raging and then had, like...
That's not true. The thing about the Twitter I know is not true. He put one tweet out.
Oh, okay.
And then he deleted the tweet. And that's just... I think that's more like a Twitter culture thing.
Yeah.
Which is, like, if somebody types in all caps, they're clearly losing their mind right now.
Of course,
and
yes.
Not that he did that, but he said his tweet was along the lines of, a year ago, there was a version of Fantastic Four out that I was really proud of. You're probably never going to see that movie.
Yeah.
Clearly, he is having a mental breakdown then. Clearly, oh, my goodness. When it's like, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. We don't know what's going on.
Thank you for setting my record straight. Because that's all I've heard is just like third party people making a big deal about it. Seems like we know what's happening is that it got chopped up and he made a movie. Then the studio was like, nope, we're going to make a different movie. And
yeah.
I mean,
that's the part of the story that I've heard that I've been like, oh, I want to hear more about that.
Yeah,
apparently
absolutely.
There's like some interviews early on before he got Fantastic Four where he was like talking about like all like the directors he loves, and it was like Cronenberg, just directors who you're like, oh, those guys don't do huge superhero movies.
Sure.
And then he got Fantastic Four, and they were like, interesting choice. All right. And then I'm just based off that, in my head, I'm like, all right, maybe he was trying to do like a Cronenberg. Or just something in those veins, and they're like, no, we're Fox.
Yeah.
We need... This one's coming out in the summer, bro.
This has to sell French fries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, man, I wish I could remember the line from The Wire right now. He's just the dude who's selling fries.
Oh, man, what season are you
like
talking about?
It's like season one, when they're all, like, in the middle of... It's been so long since
The courtyard thing that I can't...
But is it Andre? Andre was like the one who was like in charge of all them, and he's trying to explain
D. When they have the chess, he has the chess metaphor. Is this the scene that we're talking about? He's trying to explain how everything works.
Yeah, and then the guy, the what's his name, Michael B. Jordan, is like eating
Wallace.
Yeah, yes.
Who is in Fantastic Four?
Exactly. That's why it's all coming together here. But basically, he tries to like tell him the story. Like, man, the dude who's really important. Isn't the guy who's making that. It's the guy who's, like, way up top.
He's
telling
him,
yes, that's how you
yes,
make that.
When, yeah.
And then Michael B. Jordan's response is really great. It's something like
McDonald's.
Yeah.
He's just the guy that makes... Yes,
yeah,
I remember
he's like,
exactly
yo, but these fries are far, like, dope or some shit. You know, we're just like, oh, man, he's trying to help
that
you.
Classic The Wire, where there's, like, a smart person.
Yeah.
And then everybody else. And then that smart person's just like, why am I spending my time on this? It's just very funny. God, I love that show.
Oh, you know what would be great? They should get a super cut of all the guys from The Wire who, like, regardless of whether they were doing, like, good or bad, were, like, trying to, like, explain something.
Sure.
And the person didn't get it. And then cut. I just want to see a super cut of their reactions.
Right.
Of just, yeah, just like, oh, I just tried to give you the secret of life, man.
And speaking of The Wire supercuts, did you ever see the one... I can't remember what the term for this phrase, but, like, that just is what it is, man.
Mm.
What that phrase is, which means, like, nothing, basically, where you're like, that chair is just a chair. You know? Like,
yeah.
Because they use that over and over and over again. Like, the game is the game.
The game is the game.
Shit like that. Just
the game
over
is the game is great.
There's a supercut of it, and it is so... It's, like, 3 minutes long. So by the halfway, like, a minute 30, you're just, like, cracking up, and, like, over and over and over. It's so good. Baltimore's Baltimore, man. But anyway, Fantastic Four.
Yes, sorry.
I feel like even... I don't know. It would have taken a lot for that movie to do really well, I feel like. It's just... People are not into it. It's like they haven't found a dynamic group of people.
Because
I feel like that I haven't even seen these movies, but I could tell you why they're not doing well. Like, it's not a you have to have four people that are interesting together.
Yeah.
And not to say that those actors are not interesting.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Because I like all four of those actors.
When I heard the cast, I was like, solid.
Awesome.
Okay.
But then you throw them together and you put them in this weird thing. There's just nothing. There's really nothing to grab onto in that.
I could be wrong, but I feel like when the first two came out, we still weren't getting a lot of superhero movies.
Right.
And the studios.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Chiklis was in it.
Yeah.
So.
And the studios still thought, like, superhero movies have to look like this and sound like this. And people were like, nah, we don't want
like
that.
Really shiny and weird.
Yes. And then this one came out, and now We are like, we're right. good on superhero movies. And then this is another movie where they're giving you an origin story. From what I know, the Fantastic Four, and I don't know a lot, but I know the leader, he has like gray hair.
Mr. Fantastic.
Yes. I always felt like the Fantastic Four was like older people, and older people. And that's like, when I saw this trailer, I was just like, we're educated now in superhero movies. Yeah. I don't need to know how you became Fantastic Four. You're the Fantastic Four.
And Reggie Cathy is in Fantastic Four. Another The Wire
That's right.
person.
Yeah, he is.
God damn it.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, it's all right. No.
Because he's the only old person in
From
that movie.
From now on, anytime we know somebody who's in
Wire.
The Wire, we drop their name. Absolutely. Friend of the show.
Reggie Cathy.
Indeed. I think it had that going against it. Definitely for me, it did, where I was just like, this isn't even like the superhero movie. Like, it's with the people I want to see, but now it's still not the story I want, you know?
And it's like Fantastic Four babies, Muppet babies or something.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, I get it. I know why you're doing it.
This is the one that I actually would have liked a gritty reboot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, make the Fantastic Four, like, weird, like Cronenbergian and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, they go through crazy transmations?
Yes, wow. People are.
They go through crazy transformations to become the superheroes that they are. Make it weird.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, superhero movies are an established genre now. I don't know if genre is the right word, but there's something we're used to now.
Yeah.
So start to play with the format a little bit.
I don't know if it's even genre anymore, or just like theater movies.
Yeah.
Basically, theater movies are superhero movies.
Yeah. I mean, they're no longer just like in the summer either. You know what I mean? They're kind of
all year round.
Yeah, they're year round now. It's starting to become like Netflix now. We're like, you know, hey, it doesn't matter. We know you're going to see them. So
yeah,
here they are whenever.
At some point
you're going to see it.
Super weird. That's Fantastic Four. The last thing I'll say about that, it's only got a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. 9%.
That's less than Mordecai, and I still think Mordecai is probably the worst movie this year. And I haven't seen it, but just from the way everybody was talking about it.
Yeah. And in my looking up Fantastic Four, I saw mention of Josh Trank possibly making a Columbo reboot with Mark Ruffalo.
Really?
And that, actually, I'm into. Hmm. I'm actually into Mark Ruffalo playing Peter Falk as Columbo. Like, that I would be super into.
Yeah. I'm into Ruffalo playing Columbo. I would rather see because Trank also got taken off the Star Wars movie. Maybe big movies aren't for you. I'd rather see, then let's go back to Chronicle. Do something smaller.
Right.
And see what you do with that. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay, so then moving on to, now, the other night, Cameron and I were trying to just, like, chill out, and we watched baseball. She's been watching baseball a bunch, mm-hmm. which I kind of feel bad about, because now she's, like, into baseball, and I'm like, oh, you don't even know what you're in for.
Yeah, she's,
it's a lot.
Slowly start preparing her.
Yeah, it's a lot. So we were watching a bunch of baseball, then we like looked on an HBO Go to see what was on there, just to maybe watch something for a little bit, then go to bed. And Edge of Tomorrow was on. We were like, oh, let's just put this on for a little while. Then we ended up watching the whole thing again. Because at first we were like, oh boy, this doesn't work the second time around. Because I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theater.
Okay.
For like the first 20 minutes. And then I was like, geek. I realized, I've been watching it for an hour. And I was like super into it. And we're like dissecting every part of it because we could actually speak this time.
Yeah.
And we hadn't seen it together the first time. And I really liked it again. I liked it even more this time. And I noticed this time at one point in about the front half of the third act, Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise become Doc Brown and Marty McFly. Like, once they get past when he's like, we've never gotten this far before.
Yeah.
And they're like in a car and he's like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, just looking around at like slow down, like yelling. And she's like, no, it's going to be fine. We'll figure it out. We'll take that thing there. And it's so much like Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's funny.
And I loved it just for like a moment, because it's not the whole movie, but it's just for like 20 minutes where they speak to each other the same way.
Yeah.
And I like loved that about it. Still don't know how I feel about the ending, but I liked it on rewatch. Like the whole thing on rewatch. Great timing. No pun intended. Like they do just enough every time. They get the timing of the reboot of the day so good at the beginning. Like they really hit the time like exactly where it should be.
That's a movie where the editing stands out.
Oh.
you know, in a good way.
Oh,
I mean, because editing is also so good. When editing is like really good, you just don't notice it. You go, wow, that was really good. But then there's some movies where you're like, man,
I mean,
that
you
was
have to
really...
see the editing of this movie because you can't have time travel without editing, right?
I can't remember.
You have to see it.
Man,
and
I just
watched
a I'm trying to remember what comedy I watched recently where me and the other person was like, and you know what's so funny about it? They just got the edits right. So you knew, like, that's the laugh. But yes, I'm sorry. Yep. Edge of Tomorrow, fantastic.
Yep. So
I've seen it like 5 times since we saw it because it's on HBO Go.
Right.
So it's like sometimes if there's nothing going on, I'll sit through this until I got somewhere to be.
Yeah. One thing we did notice is that you can see the budget on a TV. You can see the budget versus seeing it in the theater because the spectacle is so large. But then once it was on our TV, we were like, oh, this, okay, I can see it.
You see a crafty table in the background?
Yeah, just like fish. Wire coming in.
I didn't know that director of movie we're talking about, that he did like one of the rewrites on Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah,
did
and
you know that?
He might be doing a sequel.
I didn't.
So that's what I was getting to, is that he might be doing a sequel for that movie.
Just setting it up. Setting it up.
Thank you, Ricky. Just throwing me that first ball fastball. And I'm knocking it out of the park. Little League Park. Yeah, so I actually think I would be into the sequel. Like, that's a movie that I'm like, yeah, do it again.
Huh.
I'll see what you do.
I would be interested to see what, like, I don't know. It felt like it ended so, like, and then that was that story. I'd be interested to see, like, all right, what would you do with it
now? I mean, I have actually, usually I can be like, okay, I understand what this is what they could do, or this is what I'd like to see. This movie, I'm just like, eh, you figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll go check it out, but I don't have any idea how you're going to renew it, you know, like make it, unless you just do Back to the Future Part 2, just like Terminator Genesis, and then like they get somehow struck back and there's 4 of them or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you do collapse the time thing on itself and show us the same movie again.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be...
We like both had to take a breath after that. Like,
I mean, already I started thinking about the time-space continuum.
Tangents, and I figured, what the hell? So one thing that we haven't talked about, and I haven't really like, I kind of just want to see this, so I haven't been paying too much attention to it because there's so much talk of every superhero thing and so much talk of, and especially on our own show, of people of color and women not being superheroes or really featured in superhero comic book movies as much as they should. So Supergirl is going to be on CBS. And all I've seen is that one poster that keeps circulating. I am hopeful. How do you feel about it, Ricky? Is this a show that you're going to watch? Like, check out?
I mean, I would probably watch it once just to see what it is. I don't remember liking the Supergirl movie that much.
Right.
So...
But did you like Supergirl? She was in Superman 2, right?
She is not in Superman
2.
No.
My bad. I was very young when I saw those movies.
I'm superhero TV shows have a lot of work for me to get into. But I did start watching The Flash and I was like, "Oh, this is good."
That's crazy.
I was watching it
I had a very serious The Flash phase when I was a kid.
The Flash, the original Flash TV show?
I think so.
Or just The Flash, the superhero?
Like my action figure.
Oh.
I was like, this is my one right now.
Yeah.
And I was like super into The Flash, and all I did was run.
The Flash is like, they're like the Raiders, you know? Where like, oh, yeah,
sure.
I love the Oakland Raiders. They're great. Love that uniform.
Yeah. That's
about
it.
I mean, you know, yeah, exactly. I when they get like a huge player, you know, like I'll be like, yeah, go Raiders, all that.
Yeah, they're like the Oakland Athletics. How can you root against them? They literally never do anything. They're just there.
It's just like, so The Flash, I watched that. What I'm getting is I went back and watched The Flash, the original TV show. Does not hold up
at
all. I mean, music is what they were. What works is you could see what they were going for and like, all right, cool, dope. But it is just kind of like, oh, yeah, that was the late 80s television.
TV. I watched The Late Shift last night.
Yeah.
Because I just needed something on that was different than what I was experiencing.
The things that we watch at night are great.
And I hadn't seen it before. Oh, my God. Like, the production value on that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's from, like, 94.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's from 86. You know, like, the I don't even want to call it a score because it is a joke. Yeah. It sounds like somebody made it on a Tamagotchi. Like that's, and it is like so loud. And also the guy playing Jay Leno, who is one of the cops in The Fugitive. He's just like one of the Chicago cops.
I know which
cops,
dude you're talking
the
about.
The tall
guy. Yeah.
He has this, he looks like he's wearing a melted moon mask to play Jay Leno. Like he looks like he has a chair on his face and he's like sweating in the creases of his mouth. And like, it is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. So my point of even bringing that up is like, wow, there was just an era where we tried to make even movies that were even time periods that were 2 years behind, it just looked insane. So anything made in the 80s and 90s on television especially is basically garbage.
Yeah.
Just throw it away. Don't archive it.
Not everything HBO
made. It looks
made.
Like shit. And we'll be back with Ricky Explains Trailers to Rhea after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Griffin McElroy. And this is our serious promo. No horsing around, you two.
If you like just three gentlemen being adults about topics and giving advice for them, to them, My Brother, Me is the podcast for you, serious-minded adults.
No monkey shines, no fall to roll.
Hey, let me ask you a question. How sophisticated is your palate?
You like Merlot?
Our show is basically like the Merlot and dark chocolate of podcasts.
So you gotta be grown up to like them.
Our podcast is Toilet Wine.
Listen to the Toilet Wine of podcasts every Monday right here at MaximumFun.org.
All right, we're back with our new segment that I've lovingly titled Ricky Explains Trailers to Rhea. We decided Ricky's going to watch upcoming trailers, and then he's just going to tell me about them. It's kind of like our love letter to this podcast that I really enjoyed and talk about all the time, which is called Seen Unseen, which was like the first podcast I ever listened to, and it was two guys that would one of them would go to the movie and see the movie and then have like a review of it based on that. And then the other guy would not go see the movie and just have his idea of what the movie was based on advertising and trailers and what you could see without seeing the movie. And so he would try to like get, they would have a conversation based on that.
Yeah.
And then sort of review the movie that way. And it was, I mean, there were two like Hollywood guys. They ended up stopping because they got too busy, but it's a really funny podcast.
That's funny.
I loved it. I'm sure I don't know. I liked it when it was on. So this is our little
funny.
Like tribute to that.
I would tell people, I would always, my conversation with my friends 90% of the time would start off, have you seen this trailer?
Yeah.
Have you seen this trailer? And finally, and I would explain to them and be like, no, but it sounds awesome. And then one day my buddy was like, why don't you like start something called, have you seen this trailer? And I did it for like a minute and then I get distracted easily and
I
never finish it. But now this is kind of
like, you want to, we could call it that next episode.
No.
Have you seen this trailer?
We don't need to do all that.
You've seen this trailer?
I like Ricky Explains Trailers to Rhea. This is great. Should I tell you what the name of the movie is?
No, I think,
up top?
Let's see. Let's game this out live on the radio.
Absolutely. Because we could do that.
I feel like you should just tell me what it is.
Okay, yeah.
Since it's trailers.
Sure.
You guys, if you're a person that gets bummed when you see a trailer, if you're trying to avoid trailers, maybe skip this segment. Just giving you a heads up. We're going to talk about trailers that are freely existing on the internet, and it's not our fault for talking about them, but I'm giving you fair warning that this is a section where we're going to talk about trailers. So just fast forward to the review.
Now, this first trailer here, I'm actually combining two movie trailers together.
Whoa.
Because they showed these trailers back to back. And I was like, just saw this trailer when I went to go see Mission Impossible at lovely Vista Theater.
Oh, you went to the Vista?
I went to the Vista. Loved the Vista.
I can't even remember what trailers I saw.
Usually I hate when people like make a comment after like a trailer shows or something, just like
in the theater.
Yeah, it better be like hilarious.
Oh,
it better really kill it. So the first trailer they show is to The Hunger Games.
Oh right, yes.
Part two, which I mean that movie's not done yet.
No,
it feels like that movie came out 15 years ago.
Could you imagine if they would have made Return of the Jedi and Return of the Jedi Part Two?
I mean, it's just like. I couldn't, like, when they were showing me, I was like,
they're still hungry.
They're still hungry, Rhea. They're still hungry. Man. So it's her. She's still hungry. Donald Sutherland, who is still alive.
Yeah, I honestly was like, wait, what?
Wow. Oh, and then they show Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is not, which made me sad.
Which is the worst.
And then is Julianne Moore in this?
Yes.
Julianne Moore is in the last one,
I think.
What's she? I could have sworn that the last one ends with them winning. But I didn't.
I don't know.
Geez, have you seen?
I watched the first one, and then I tried to watch the second one. I fell asleep every time I put it on.
And then, yeah, it's like the future, and it's one of those weird futures where, like, just about everybody is white. But
there's one black dude.
Yeah. You know, old black guy. You know, I also, you know, they could have been some light-skinned Latinos. We are out there.
It's convenient how Hollywood always finds them to put them in movies, the light-skinned Latinos, instead of, like, the darker-skinned Latinos.
Well, my favorite light-skinned Latino casting is Marissa Tomei in the Perez family. She's Italian. Yeah. So there's a game they have to win again. But you know what? Shout out to Jeffrey Wright being up in this. So Jeffrey Wright shows up, and I was like, there you go. That's what's up.
Yeah, Jeffrey Wright is also really great on Twitter.
He is very great. Man, I love Jeffrey Wright on Twitter.
He's good.
Say some shit to him. He will put you in your place.
Yeah, he will. That's a smart man.
Exactly. He
knows what's up. He's Basquiat.
He's great. And then, so it's like there's scenes of like Donald Sutherland eating and being like,
there's roses.
And then there's scenes of like Katniss, you know, they're all got like black leather outfits now and they're all angry because they haven't won yet. And then there's this dope ass scene where they're like running, they're like in the games, and then lava starts, it's like The Shining. Except not blood, it's like black lava starts like coming through the streets, and then they like start running, and then I checked out. Mm-hmm. I was like, just show me the movie, because we're also like 3 minutes into the trailer.
I know, it's so much.
And I'm like, what is going on? So,
and then they come with that shitty whistling.
The thing happens, and it's like, part two, and I was just like, oh boy.
But then
you could feel the energy in the crowd was like,
In part three, they're going to go to the Old West. That's going to be pretty cool when Katniss is like in the Old West spitting in a spittoon and stuff.
Why isn't her name Katniss Spittoon?
Yeah.
So then the next trailer they show is to the Maze Runner, the Something Trials.
Yeah. The Scorch Trials, Ricky.
Thank you.
I saw these trailers.
Okay.
And I laughed at these trailers the whole time. They call it the Scorch, like nobody's made it through the Scorch. I'm sorry, right? Carchetti, that you had to, Littlefinger, you had to deliver that line. I mean, you're laughing all the way to the bank.
Have you seen the
Maze Runner? I saw it on a plane.
It's on HBO Go right now.
I don't think it's worth it.
I don't want to sit down and waste your time on it.
I watched it on a plane because it was on mm-hmm. the plane. And, like, it just, how many of these, like, post-apocalyptic teen movies do we have to have before people actually do something in the actual world?
Yeah, it's
you know what I mean? Like, these movies, I can't watch that. And sorry to get real. But,
say that shit.
It is hard for me. And, like, of course, I'm whining about it being hard to watch something. Like, the whole thing is effed. You know what I mean? Like, so I know I'm an asshole for saying this. But at the same time, we keep making movies about, like, these white teenagers that are like, I have to save the world. This is wrong. Like, where are the white teenagers in, like, real life saying, hey, this is wrong? People don't. I don't know. It just because then there's no black people in those movies.
To the Maze Runner trailer's credit, just because there's in my mind there was quite a few. I was like, whoever your casting director
closer together
needs to talk to that casting director.
Yeah, they have a team in the Maze Runner, like a team of people that work together. But it's still like the white guy that runs everything.
So because I was watching and I was like, here we go. I'm just going to see the same shit. And then I started to catch and I was like, oh, wow. Solid. Trailer ends, Scorch, it's quiet. Somebody, this is how you do comedy, right? waits a second, and then whistles the exact same thing we just heard from Mockingjay. And that, I mean, even I was like, thank you, man.
Great job.
Yeah, well done. Well done. The last trailer I watched was The Last Witch Hunter with Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of this.
This movie's, oh. It's
this seems like a movie that should come out in February.
Yeah.
From what I've seen of it.
This seems like it could be, and I can't believe I'm saying this, it could be a John Wick thing.
Yeah. It probably will be.
Oh damn, that was amazing. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Old girl from Game of Thrones is in it.
Which old girl?
The red-haired old girl.
Oh, awesome.
Ygritte? The one who you know nothing, Jon Snow, or you know, is that her?
Yes.
Wow. I was thinking red hair, the evil one who makes smoke come out of
her.
Nope, not her. Not her. So it takes place in the past, but to the present. He walks around with like John Wick suit.
What?
He's got like a sword with a flame. And I don't even know like who he's after. He's after some bad guy.
Is he after dudes?
Because
that would make me really happy if he's not actually hunting actual witches.
No. I'm trying to. He's not after. They're dudes. They're witches, but they're not like. Oh, it's not
sure,
that kind of witch.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of witch. If you think that, it's like I feel like there's like a smoke monster type thing.
Sure.
Ygritte is with him, and like they team up, and yeah, something like, so like you see like jumps in time. So like sometimes he's like bearded Vin Diesel. And then sometimes he's like present day Vin Diesel.
Then sometimes he's Groot.
Yeah. And that trailer, I was just kind of laughing so much because I was like, oh man, this is going to be so ridiculous.
I mean, I'm into it.
I was expecting it to be like a stinker. Like, no,
sure.
No thanks. But boom, this
potential.
Well,
from the way
potential.
You just described it, which
potential.
Is he's all like, I'm in.
Wait,
they've got my 1350.
What? We were talking about this at work today. John Wick doesn't have a lot of dialogue in it.
No.
And I think that makes it an even better movie.
Sure.
And it's not because I think Keanu can't act or anything, but sometimes just the action will tell the story.
Yeah. I mean,
you know?
He like whips his head around enough to act. You guys can't see what I'm doing right now. But
that
it's
was,
a,
I felt like.
It's a dead on Keanu.
I felt like John was here.
John Wick was in the building.
I didn't do nothing to your puppy. I didn't do nothing to your puppy.
Exactly. And we'll be back with our review of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation after this.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Hal, and we're the hosts of We Got This,
the show that offers definitive answers to dumb debates that you suggest.
Every Wednesday, we discuss the hot button topics you never knew you cared so much about, like whether you should put ketchup on a hot dog.
What's the best Star Wars movie?
Whether it's better to be too hot or too cold.
Coke or Pepsi?
Best Marvel movie.
Which is the best religion?
I told you we're not doing that one.
So join us every week on MaximumFun.org, and don't worry, everyone. We got this.
We got this.
All right. You ready to review this thing?
The shit out of it.
All right. We're back with our going to be amazing review.
I love when we can get a little laugh from Lindsay outside.
Yeah. It's always good.
I don't know if they can hear it out
probably
there.
Probably not.
But they can probably
feel it, though. It's in there somewhere. It's in the mix somewhere.
Usually you don't think anything I'm saying is funny, but if I hear Lindsay laugh, I'm like, oh, good job, Ricky. Good work.
Oh, I laugh all the time, Ricky. Come on. I laugh all the time. So we are reviewing Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. It's got, I'm so heavy with spoiler prompts that I forgot to do it again. We're just going to talk openly about the movie. So if you haven't seen it since it's in theaters, we totally understand. But go see it and then just come back and listen to our review or listen to us and don't care about it because we're funny and you'll like it. Anyway, it has a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes right now and it made $108 million in its first weekend. So it's doing pretty okay. I think that's the number I got from the internet computer. It was directed and written by Christopher McQuarrie, who also did Jack Reacher, which I think we reviewed, and it was a weird movie. It stars Tom Cruise, Jeremy Renner, Simon Pegg, Rebecca Ferguson, Ving Rhames, Sean Harris, and Alec Baldwin. And the plot synopsis taken directly from IMDb, as I like to do. Ethan and team take on their most impossible mission yet. Ugh. Eradicating the Syndicate, an international rogue organization as highly skilled as they are, committed to destroying the IMF. I also want to give a shout out to Tom Hollander from In the Loop as the Prime Minister. As soon as he came on screen, I was like, where is he from? Like, it was driving me crazy.
Yeah.
In the Loop, which if you guys haven't seen that movie, change that and see it because it's really brilliant. It's amazing.
I was wondering if that was like an inside joke.
I feel like
it is. That he was, because when he showed up, I was like, wait a second. Come on now. Yeah.
So this movie, and I've said this before, but I'm beginning to think these missions might be possible.
Wait a second. What say you?
So I think there's a lot to love in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Something that really stuck out to me super early on watching this is that I realized that Tom Cruise might be the very first male actor whom we are not allowing to age. You know, like how women have to seem young forever and they
yes.
get plastic surgery done and they try to look really young. Because his dye job is insane in this movie. It is so dark and it makes him look crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy different. Like, it emphasizes his face and the age that he actually is. Because, like, he actually isn't Risky Business Tom Cruise anymore.
No.
Like, he's, especially when his shirt comes off, you're like, oh,
yeah,
you're an older man.
Yeah, he's
like,
starting
it's
to
not,
have...
I'm not picking on it or anything.
No, no,
but
no.
It's almost this thing that you can't even describe because there's nobody's handing me a flyer that's like, Tom Cruise is young, you know, like outside of the theater, like making me think, oh, this guy's young, but it's like everything around him. You're like, yeah, how old is he? 36? You
right.
know, like you forget how old he
For
is.
Sure.
And then he takes his shirt off and you're like, oh,
yeah.
right. He's like going to be 50 probably or is. I don't even know how old he is.
You could put up the poster from The Firm.
Yeah.
Which is a movie that was made in the early 90s.
93,
and this poster right now. And it would look like those two men are three years apart.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
They're 22 years apart, which you would think they were 3 years apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I noticed about this movie.
Well, you know, I noticed it just from everything that we've been talking up prior to this. This movie worked for me for everything that we were having problems with and everything else in Fantastic Four.
Sure.
It's Mission Impossible. We don't need the origin story. This series very easily could have been like every time it's a new team and Tom has to get the team together.
Yeah.
And they don't waste your time with that.
Yeah.
The plot is pretty straightforward.
The plot is actually my biggest complaint. I mean, we can get more into it later.
For sure.
But I'm sorry.
This
just seems like the same movie again.
Yeah.
It just felt like we were watching Ghost Protocol again, just with a double cross instead of like a jewelry heist or whatever was in the first one.
I meant straightforward in like the sense of how we're talking about like True Detective.
Yeah,
where
absolutely.
It's like, what the hell is going on
sure.
in this show? These guys are going all over the world, and I can still be like, okay, yeah, because they have to do that and that, and this thing needs to get at this point
sure.
by this time. But yeah, it is kind of the plot from Ghost Protocol. We need to get this device.
Yeah,
because
well, we're not the IMF anymore.
Yeah,
like every time they're like, oh no, we're not the IMF. Like it's just okay. Well, that happened the last time, and it worked out all right, and now it happens again. It's just a little odd. Like I don't know what to do differently, but I just felt like, wait. Did I step into the wrong thing? Is this a year ago?
Who's Rebecca Ferguson? I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Okay.
I forgot to look up.
I didn't know if she was somebody.
She was great.
If she's like on a TV show, or she's like huge in Britain. I just don't know who she was. And I was like, oh, I'm enjoying watching this woman whoop that ass.
She was in Hercules.
Ah, don't do any more of those, Rebecca.
Yeah. Well, I don't think she's going to after this movie because she was pretty great in this
yeah.
and I really liked her. And because I really wanted to not like her because I liked in Ghost Protocol that the female IMF agent, like mm-hmm. There wasn't any romance,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I like that there's no romance for Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Because it just makes it, like, you don't have to have, this isn't the 80s anymore. Like,
yeah,
we don't
sure.
have to have, like, a love interest every single movie in a franchise, especially.
When's the last time, I can't remember in Jack Reacher if they get together or not.
I remember the woman being like, are you kidding me? The way this is written, like, this is a joke, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's because it's a girl from Gone Girl, and she does kind of play it like,
She's like, just ask questions.
Yeah.
Like the audience needs some idiot to just go like, what? Why are you moving that gun over there? You know, like it's the weird exposition.
I think, but the point again is that Tom Cruise, he doesn't seem to be there. He's moved away from the I'm going to get the girl at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like Tom Cruise in the movie now. I mean, yes. In Oblivion, but even then it turns out, if you haven't seen Oblivion, I'll say he's not who he thinks he is.
Yeah.
And that kind of cancels the whole love story part of that movie.
Right. The because love story for him like just doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't anymore.
I think a lot of
it can, but it's not.
We went through like all of, if you were around in the early 2000s, then you were aware of like Tom Cruise's couch jumping and all of that stuff. I think people are just aware like, yeah, nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah.
Because he's a weirdo.
People don't buy Tom Cruise as much anymore.
No.
Nope. Have you heard anybody talk badly about Edge of Tomorrow? You just hear people say, I've never seen the movie, or I saw it, and man, it was good.
Yeah.
So people are still not like, oh man, Tom Cruise is in it, I'm there right away.
And you know what is crazy? Like, I was watching Edge of Tomorrow, having just seen Mission Impossible. And I was thinking, like, well, man, Tom Cruise has actually made, say what you will about his everything about that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not a great person. I don't know. I have no idea. He's an actor. Whatever. And like,
he's probably a crazy actor. I mean, he's probably a crazy actor.
I have heard people that have been in a room with him, and they're like, yeah, he's really out there, man. So like, I don't know what's going on for that guy, but I'm just talking about movies specifically. Like, he's made some really interesting choices in the past 10 years, but in the past, let's say 4 or 5 years, his like moneymaker is essentially being murdered on screen for 90 minutes.
Right.
Because like, if you look at Ghost Protocol, he is like doing insane stunts, right? But they're all, it's him like being on the front of a building. So it's tension. And you're like, oh my God, is he going to make it? You know, like that kind of a thing. And then in Edge of Tomorrow, he literally is killed over and over and over on screen, and some for comedic effect, and it is funny to mm-hmm. see that guy, somebody that was an action hero and also somebody that a lot of people don't like. It's like cathartic to see this guy being killed in Edge of Tomorrow over and over again. Then you watch Rogue Nation, and that guy is being thrown around like a rag doll for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, from the opening scene, set piece of that movie, he flies when the scene yeah. that opens the movie is the plane scene that they've been showing everybody going, Tom Cruise did this himself. And that's batshit insane that
yeah.
he did that stunt.
Right?
Batshit crazy. They open the door and the ramp is also open. So when Benji Simon Pegg opens the door that he needs him to open, he is sucked into it and then is thrown to the other side of the plane, goes kank, and then like falls down. You would absolutely die from that.
Absolutely.
Your neck would be broken in half.
I would figure just the way on the plane up, up, you are hurting.
You are ripped. Probably your fingertips would be left on the plane, and then you would be laying in the field.
That's where Tom Cruise movie star works.
Sure.
We like go in as audiences like so self-aware for Tom Cruise because he's just been like a movie star since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Since I was a kid, Tom Cruise has been a movie star. Risky Business made him a...
Yeah, 1983.
I mean, he was already like, you know, he's already... Oh, yeah, we know Tom Cruise. But then after Risky Business, it was just up from there.
And that was 1983.
Yeah. I'm 487 years old. You know what? I can't believe that just happened. There's somebody, a mom tweeted her and her, and I believe her daughter or your son are having an argument. I need to settle an argument how old I am. I will tell you, I am 487 years old.
There you go. It's
there
settled.
It
487.
Thank you.
Years young. Mr. Ricky Carmona.
What were we just talking about? Tom Cruise being a movie star.
Yes.
Did I have another thought after that, Ricky? No.
No.
But it'll come to me, I'm
Do
sure.
Do you want to get into our best and worst?
Yes.
Ricky.
Oh, yes, I remembered.
Oh, there it is.
And also, just kudos to the movie. This is I didn't know right away, but that movie starts off with a scene that could end that movie. I was like, oh, that's going to be the end of the movie.
Sure.
I can't wait till we get to that point. Movie starts with that.
It's the opening scene.
And it's not even that like long of a scene as well either. Like, it's like he gets on the side of the plane, it goes up, you know, he gets thrown in, the back door opens.
Then he ties himself
to all these nuclear bombs
and then just like pulls the thing.
And that's it. We don't need to see him land. They could have just easily done like CGI him landing, all that. It could have been like a huge sequence. It's really not that long a sequence. And I was just like, oh man. And then the movie takes off from there. Solid.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's get into our best and worst. Ricky,
sure.
What is your worst part of this movie?
I really did think about this one. Because I don't think about it enough. These movies do this thing where they get a solid director and Tom Cruise. What they haven't done yet is get like the right villain in there.
Eddie Redmayne from Jupiter Ascending in this movie? You didn't like?
Was he just like?
Remember how Eddie Redmayne spoke in Jupiter Ascending?
Oh yes,
Ascending?
Yeah, that guy.
This guy was doing the same thing.
I really jumped back on board this series with Philip Seymour Hoffman in Mission Impossible 3.
Yes,
like Tom Cruise, like. How they pick who the director is, that's what I was trying to say. How they pick who the director is, they need to find an actor. It needs to be a Philip Seymour, somebody who I think can take Tom Cruise down.
They need to have more villains. You know what I mean? There needs to be, because this is supposed to be a team that is, the syndicate.
The anti.
It's like two people.
Yeah.
Two people that speak.
Yeah.
You know, and we have, there's a team of four or five people on the, no, wait. On the IMF. Oh, God, this is confusing. that all speak and have lines and have roles and stuff. Like, have more of those people.
Yeah. But yeah, that villain was just did not work for me. Was
also
never
not
like
very
scared.
Scary.
Yeah. I was never felt like threatened or that he was actually, I felt like he was very smart and intelligent.
Yeah.
He was like, I mean, Hans Gruber, he was like Hans Gruber, but not dope like Hans Gruber. They were going for that, but he wasn't that.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't that. That kind of goes along with mine, because I'm just going to go back to what I was saying before.
What was your least favorite part of this movie?
Oh, thank you, Ricky. My least favorite part of this movie is how similar it was to the last movie, and I'm hoping that, given the ending of this movie, that Alec Baldwin is now their, like, secretary, the leader of the thing, hopefully they'll just make a different thing for Mission Impossible. What are we on? Six?
Six.
I just hope that it's not they've cut us off!
Yeah.
Clearly, they're just doing this to you, the government or whatever. Like, just it shouldn't be a surprise, because it's not a surprise to me, and I'm the one sitting in the theater watching the movie. Like, it just is really annoying to watch the same plot. But that's a minor.
Plot's important. I think that was a solid. That's a solid gripe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the double cross element was kind of cool, but then at the same time, I don't know. Anyway,
that's a staple of the genre.
Yeah, it's a staple. It's a staple, but they didn't have to use the same. Door. They didn't have to walk through the same door. Yeah, exactly. So, Ricky, what is your best part of this movie?
Man, the best part is I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it was.
Yeah.
Because I saw Jack Reacher, and I liked Jack Reacher, but I haven't seen like any other Christopher McQuarrie movies outside of Jack Reacher. I'm just familiar with him from The Usual Suspects. But now I'm like, yo, McQuarrie, make another one. Let's go. Bring him back for number six.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was just a solid summer popcorn movie that didn't get bogged down. It feels like that's a machine now that knows what it can do.
Yes.
And it gives me things that I'm not expecting, like throwing that airplane sequence out up front. Rebecca Ferguson's character was great. Ving Rhames is still a part of the team.
Yeah.
I forgot. I was like, oh, yeah, that when he showed up, I was like, that's right, man, Ving Rhames, where you at?
Yeah. I love that they make him like, you stay with her. And he's like 100 feet away. And he's like, God damn it, I'm a linebacker. He's like trying to get over to her. She just like looks at him one time and then is gone.
I might say that this is, after Mad Max Fury Road, this might be the next best action movie of the summer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Action movie of the summer?
Action movie of the summer?
Yeah.
I can't think of any.
All right.
I really liked Spy a lot. I am going to like go to my grave saying, you should watch Spy.
Because
think the action in that movie is really good.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why I'm blanking, but Yeah, I mean, Jurassic World was pretty... I don't know. It's up there. It's definitely up there. Mm. It's not like I hate this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, well, of course it's great. It's Mission Impossible. And I mean, well, I was laughing a lot in this... The thing I liked about this movie is not necessarily anything specific. It's actually that I, like, laughed at how ridiculous the stunts were, yet they looked good. You know, it wasn't, like, so ridiculous that it was... They're unbelievable and ridiculous, but watchable. Because, like, they do a good job with the special effects and practical effects. I mean, that car chase, when they flip that BMW vertically, backwards, bumper over tail, that was insane.
Yeah.
And also, like, I'm laughing at that, but I was also laughing when they first got in the car and they, like, pull up next to Jeremy Renner and Ving Rhames.
That's hilarious.
And they're like, had to get the 4x4. Like, that whole thing is really great. But they pull up and Simon Pegg just, like, leans forward and goes, oh, hey, like, with a finger point.
Yeah.
And it's such a, like, Edgar Wright moment that it was so endearing. And I really think that Simon Pegg, like, stole the movie and made it really fun and enjoyable because he's, like, got some really good moments in there and it's not too over the top, like, jokey. In an action movie, it actually fits. So that's what I liked about the movie is I was laughing at actual funny things and then laughing at the action that was, like, making me laugh because it was crazy.
Yeah.
I loved that motorcycle
chase, I was
going to
say, yeah, after that car scene, then that motorcycle, then that whole motorcycle sequence.
I've never seen anybody do that in a movie, like, surrounded by a motorcycle gang and just go, okay, and take them all out with the motorcycle.
That's
such
funny.
A great idea. And I really liked the female character in this movie. Even when she had that crazy dress on that was, like, open all the way,
yeah,
it still visually
fine.
Was really awesome when she's, like, running through that opera, which that scene was amazing. Like, you don't know who's going to... And then Tom Cruise shoots the... That was good.
I'm telling you, Rhea,
I know,
the best action movie of the next to Mad Max.
It's pretty up there. It's pretty up there.
Spy's on my list of best movies of the summer. Action movie of the summer? Definitely Mad Max and Mission Possible.
Absolutely, for sure. On a scale of 1 to 5, boy, Tom Cruise sure does look like Frog Mario in that underwater scene. How many, boy, Tom Cruise looks like Frog Mario in that underwater scenes do you give Mission Impossible Rogue territory?
Rogue County? I will give it 4.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, yes.
You want to give me a scale, Ricky?
I do. On a scale of 1 to 5... I can neither confirm nor deny that without the approval of the secretary's consent.
Yeah.
How many would you confirm or deny without the approval of the secretary's consent?
I will, you know what? I'll agree with you. I'll give it 4. Even though the plot is a repeat, it was still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I give it 4. I cannot confirm nor deny without the secretary's approval.
That was funny.
Of the IMF. It was good. I mean, that's like a good throwback joke. I hate Jeremy Renner, though. Get him out of those movies. I just can't stand that guy.
He worked in this movie. I either like him or I'm out.
I thought he worked in Ghost Protocol, didn't work in this one.
Oh, let's see. I wasn't crazy about him in Ghost Protocol.
Interesting.
Liked him in this.
I liked him in the other one because he got to do stuff. They, like, threw him down that shaft and he had his jacket on.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't get to do as much as everybody. I didn't notice that.
I don't like his fingers. He has weird... His weird toe fingers. And I know he can't help that, but he also has a stupid mouth. He says dumb shit about Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, man. That's great.
Awesome. So that is our review of Mission Impossible. It was probably possible because they proved it was possible. And next week, we will be reviewing Starship Troopers, which is on Netflix right now. I'm excited about it already. I have memories of watching this movie while playing NFL Blitz for Nintendo 64. So let's talk about that button mashing that I used to do back in the day. So we'll be reviewing that next episode. So Ricky, what do you want to leave everybody with until then?
Oh, it's been a minute since we've been here.
It has. I wanted to apologize before we did the leave you with.
Sure.
Wanted to apologize and thank everybody for hanging in there. We've had a lot of scheduling and stuff like that. So we really appreciate you.
Yes.
And it's been, you know, it's summertime. Things happen in the summertime, and there's traveling and touring and all kinds of work stuff, so we appreciate you. That's all.
Sometimes we get busy.
Sometimes we get busy.
But you know what?
Sorry about it.
You're always there for us, and we'll always come back to you.
We will be there for you.
You are our heroine, is what we're
But like female heroes, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
Not heroin, the drug.
Yeah, well, female heroes who are on heroin.
Right, right. That's what I meant.
That's what you meant. Okay. So here's things that I've just been really enjoying and loving and obsessing over lately. This song called Taken by Love by the Universal Togetherness Band. If the Jackson 5 came out of Chicago, they would sound like this group.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Joe McAdam, for giving me that gem. So good. I saw It Follows, finally.
Yeah.
Everybody, you should watch It Follows.
It Follows, yeah.
It's available on...
Will you watch it with me? Because, like, Cameron's not going to watch it with me.
I will. I totally would watch it. I'd watch it again. It was that fantastic. I like it when I say something and I'm wrong. And I don't know if I was necessarily wrong, but I was definitely like, it's not going to be what I want it to be. It's not going to be as good as I think it's going to be. Dr. Dre put out Compton, came out on Friday. I was like, oh, I will get the album some way. And then I found out that all the money from royalties that he was making off the album was going to be used to build an art center in Compton. So I said, regardless of how the album is, I'm going to give you my money, Dr. Dre, because I am down for a good cause. I get the album, and it's one of the best hip-hop albums of the year. I mean, he did it. And, you know, I was all like...
forgot about Dre.
I did not forget about Dre. I did not forget about you, Dre. You know what it is? Just as because I love Dre so much, because I love N.W.A. so much, I sometimes put people on a pedestal or a standard that isn't always attainable. But then there are some people who can step up to that, and you go, oh, wow, this is why this guy or group is as important as they are. And that album, I'm not saying it's the best album of the year. I'm not saying it's the greatest thing that's ever been put on wax or all that. But it is one of the best albums of hip hop, and I mean, it came out the day that the debates were happening, and I got more truth out of hearing Compton album,
I'm sure,
than whatever you're trying to sell me, whoever those that group of people was. So if you're interested in hearing like some good hip hop, talk to that Compton album. It'll make you angry. It'll make you happy. It'll just make you feel like a person.
Make you
some
feel.
Sick beats, Dre. Dre, you done did it, dude.
Sick beats by Dre.
My bad, Dre. You right. My bad, yo.
Awesome.
That's all.
Cool. I'm going to listen to that tomorrow, probably, because I think I'm going to go to bed right after this.
Give him your money. Give him your money. It's worth a purchase.
I am not stealing anymore.
It's worth a purchase.
I give people money. So I was just going to take this moment to mention that yesterday was the anniversary. We're recording this episode on August 10th, and yesterday, August 9th, was the anniversary of Mike Brown's death, and also all the events that started in Ferguson, which is basically the beginning of a new civil rights movement, like an uprising in this country that I think will continue. And unfortunately, yesterday in Ferguson, the same shit happened because the riot gear came out. And what was crazy to me, I was watching it on my phone because, you know, I don't have regular TV, and it wouldn't have mattered if I had regular TV because this stuff doesn't come in as breaking news. Anything that's happening to the black community in this country just doesn't make it in until somebody's been killed and people have been talking about it on Twitter, and it's nuts. And I think Twitter is an amazing tool and we should all be using it. And we should all be watching what's happening and paying attention and showing other people. And I think especially if you are white and you are on the fence, because I know that I'm not going to convince racists, because that shit is in there. And I'm probably not going to change somebody's mind that's been racist for 20 years. I'll keep trying, but I probably can't change your mind. But the thing that I am saying as a white person, because I am a white person saying this.
What?
And I'm going to continue to say I'm a white person because white people have called me out. Like, you're white too. It's like, okay, so I'll take a different tone. My tone is this. Dear fellow white people, if you are on the fence, take a look at what's happening to fellow Americans in this supposed free country by police that are supposed to protect people. Take a look at it, be open to it, and use your voice to lift it up. You don't need to add your own opinion. All you have to do is say, this is wrong, this is happening, show other people, talk to other white people about it, be open about it, understand, because it's crazy what's happening in this country, and it needs to change. So that's it. So for this week, I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun Studios by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Max Fun. And thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.